أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We know that Allah created because He wished to be known. And the being who took on the responsibility more than anything else, greater than the mountains, more than the mountains, is the human being. We said we will be the ones who know, who bear witness and who witness. And so the human heart is uniquely designed to take on the role of being the one who bears witness and witnesses. That experience of worshipfulness, of witnessing, the best English word for it is awe. And awe is the product of an intelligent human being looking out at the world and recognizing in the first instance that it is vast and he is small. There is an issue of scale in the word awe. But it is different from terror, because awe recognizes, there's an element in which awe recognizes that that which is vast is your ally and your benefactor. So we've indicated before here that there's two ways of being a human being. The one, the output is either a state of awe or a state of terror. The input is the distinction between gratitude and resentment. If I am grateful, then I will recognize how much of what I have been given was not my due, what is in excess of my due. And because that is the case, I will recognize that it has come from other than me, which means that reality that I look out at is the face of one who is my benefactor and my ally. Then I'm in a state of worshipfulness and awe. You cannot have awe without gratitude. If you say, as the kuffar today, that there's no designer behind this, it is all just arbitrary, then this thing that you're looking at is as dangerous and as wild as an avalanche and will produce in you a state of terror. That state of terror is the result of you, first of all, not recognizing how much the world is on your side, in other words, not being grateful, and therefore dealing with the world on the basis of a sense of entitlement. If I don't think I've received in excess of my due, then the only other alternative is to say I've not received my due, which is to be in a state of resentment. So there's these two ways of being human, in essence. And what makes the key thing is that the difference between awe and terror, between gratitude and resentment, is a choice. You have to choose to believe. It stands to reason that if gratitude is compelled from you, then that's not gratitude. If I force you to be grateful, that forcing you to be grateful produces resentment. So anything that has the awe is disabled by compulsion. Compulsion produces terror. It doesn't produce awe. It requires so the highest possibility, the reason why the universe exists, this worshipful, in awed human being, a critical condition for this is the independent adult will. Without an independent will, you cannot have awe. You can only have terror. If this is the highest possibility for the human being to be in awe, it has to mean that all other endeavor, all other political endeavor, economic endeavor, educational, whatever it is that we do as human beings, must have as its final aim the enablement of a free human being who can then choose to be in awe. The product of a sane society is adults who have an independent will, who choose to be in awe. Now, there are political implications to this. We progressively, we live increasingly in the society of the mass. We work in organizations very often that are hundreds of thousands of people. Many of them we don't even know. We just work for the same organization. We are under the constraint of things bigger than ourselves. We are under the constraint of political systems. We are under the constraint of employers. We are under the constraint of bizarre laws that have drawn lines on the world saying that you can only pass from this side of the world to another side of the world with a document called a passport. There's all of this constraint which produces and affirms the fact that you are not independent. You are a cog in the machine. And insofar as you're a cog in a machine, you're also programmed, I mean educated, what I mean programmed, socialized to believe that your good fortune comes from the machine. Sidi Iman just recited from Quran, Allahu Khairu Raziqeen. He is the Raziq. He's the one, he's the provider, not the boss, not the corporation. And so insofar as we have any kind of political pretension as aspirants on this path, It has to be one that is fundamentally skeptical of the mass project and of the big, bold, you know, isms, you know, socialism, capitalism. There was a wonderful book written by a man called E.F. Schumacher after the war called Small is Beautiful. And it was really looking at the implications of small-scale organization, small-scale society. And the idea that real value comes when people decide to take care of their world immediately around them, when they do business from that point of view, where it stays personable and not related to the mega project. Stays individual, person to person. So what are the attributes of a person for whom it is easy to choose to be in awe, who is not a slave, whose life experience isn't one of compulsion, whose life experience is one of volition, I choose to. Let's follow that person through a day. In the first instance, it's very unlikely that that person will be an employee in a mass organization. That person is very likely to have some kind of an enterprise, some small business. They're very likely to be engaging in a market. Isn't it interesting? Right from the beginning of the deen, the market and the masjid were always together. And that's saying something. That's saying that the trade of free independent individuals and worshipfulness are connected things. They're not opposites. They're related. So this person, insofar as they are engaged in the endeavor of earning a living, of economic endeavor, they'll probably have their own enterprise, or they'll be a collaborator of other free people in an enterprise. You know, why is it that in Quran, I mean, obviously the Quran was, the revelation came at a time when all societies had, were slave owning, and the Muslims too. But how often in Quran isn't it considered to be virtuous to free a slave? It's often referred to. And it's also one of the most profound ways that you can expiate your own misdoings is to free a slave. That's saying one of the highest things you can do is to enable the free will of another human being. The project of society, the project of the free collaboration of adults is to cultivate adults. So if we follow this person who's now finished their endeavor in the marketplace, we follow them to the place where they are most likely to have authority. And where most adults likely to have authority is at least in their homes. And we see that person in their home, you must ask yourself, well, if this person's parenting was successful, would it create the equivalent of a functional adult? And what we understand by a functional adult is an adult who has an unimpaired will, who can choose. Or is this creature, the being that comes out of this home, this child that comes out of this home, so damaged that it's lost all of its volition? Its independent will has been completely wrecked. Because then we understand what the project of authority is. Because clearly, a parent that has produced broken people who cannot function as adults has failed at parenting. Your parenting succeeds when you produce, when you reproduce yourself in another human being. You reproduce a fully functioning adult who can stand on their own feet. What happens in the home is our first experience, and it's our principal experience of authority, which means all authority has to do that. The project of all authority has to be enabling free and independent human beings, taking human beings who are the equivalent of slaves and raising them up to being free. Because it's in that transition of becoming from bound to be having your volition compromised to being free, that the possibility opens for you to choose to be in awe. That the highest possibility for the human being is then made possible. So it doesn't matter whether the person we're watching, the person in their home with their children, are they producing independent adults or they're producing broken people? Or we follow them in any other context where they have authority. Maybe in a business where they have authority. Maybe in the village council where they have authority. What is the agenda? Is the agenda control? Is the agenda dominating others? Or is the agenda making free human beings? Creating the possibility for all. Creating platforms of worshipfulness, the independent will of an adult. That is the platform that is the condition for worshipfulness for all. When we follow the person from wherever they have authority to just their engagement in the street, we will see that this person, they join Amanu wa Amanu Salihat. Their worshipfulness, Amanu and Amanu Salihat, they take care of the world around them. This person will be aware not just of the state of people on the other side of the planet who are being bombed, but they'll be aware of the state of their neighbor, of the people in their locality. They'll be aware of the condition of the neighbor to the point where the neighbor will be given the parcel of food before the neighbor has to ask. That person would also take care of the weak in their immediate vicinity. Yeah. I'll never forget in the days of the Mirabitun, when we had this organization, Al Anfal, my project with that thing was to create the condition where young men would take care of their immediate locality. So they would find out who the old people are, who were indigent and were not able to look after them. And they would go and clean that person's house. They would be part of a block watch where the Tutsis will not mug somebody in that street because they will not be survive the day if they tried. So you have people who take care of their own immediacy. You know, our friend Bashir, he's now doing this thing in Gwandebele, where these are people who live, you know, these rural squatting communities, these are about as desperately poor as you can get. And people with no prospects. They're going to these people and they're helping them grow food in their own plots. You know? Helping people to become substantive adults. Not people sitting like this waiting for that miserable 500 rand grant. No. and so on can carry on. It does mean that in essence, if we have a political agenda on this path, the political agenda has to be a view of society which is bottom up. We build community bottom up. We build the locality, we build the business, we build the school, we make sure that the old in our community are tended, that the indigent in our community are looked after, that our children are looked after. And we try and claw back as far as possible, as much as possible, authority from the state. It is not inconceivable these days to produce your own power. And if you live in a context like this, to have your own water. We incrementally get out of the system. Produce your own food. Enable your autonomy. Not as an end in itself. This is not sort of anarchism gone mad. As a precondition for something entirely different, which is the tranquil heart, the worshipful heart. May Allah grant us nearness to Him. May grant us annihilation in Him. May grant us death before we die. In Allah wa malaikatuhu yusallu ala nabi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin abdika wa rasulika nabiyyin wa ala آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله